Our reading today is Acts 27:30 and 32. As the soldiers were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiffs into the sea under the pretense of putting the anchors from the plow, Paul said to these Cretans and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiffs and let it fall off.
I know you don't mean for it to be this way. I know that you're trying the best you can. But I also know what you normally might be doing about 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. So I am not going to give you both barrels this afternoon. But I do have something I want you to see with me. And there sometimes can be neglected books, neglected chapters in the book of Acts. I love to study the book of Acts. I like to study the history of the church. You like to see Peter as the main character through the first 11 chapters or so, and then Paul and his missionary journeys. And we often spend time looking at those missionary journeys, and it's near the end of the third missionary journey that Paul continues to get a message that, hey, when you get to Jerusalem, there's trouble waiting for you there. All right, when you get to Jerusalem, there are some things that are about to happen, and I don't think he knew exactly what was going to take place, but I do know that he was prepared. I know that he was ready. He says, "None of these things move me. I am ready to suffer whatever I have to suffer for the cause of Christ when I get to Jerusalem." Well, when he gets to Jerusalem, if you turn back in the book of Acts to chapter 21, we find that he is arrested after he gets to Jerusalem, just as Agabus and other prophets have told him this was going to happen. What is the charge, though, when Paul is arrested in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21? Well, if you start, begin reading with me in verse number 27 of Acts chapter 21, the Bible says, "Now when the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon noticing him, Paul, in the temple, they began to throw all the crowd into confusion, and they laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches to everyone everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he's even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place.'" Now catch verse 29. "For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with him, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple." They did not see Paul bring him into the temple, a Greek into the temple. They did not witness Paul bringing this Gentile into the temple, but they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple, and they had Paul arrested. Now, this balloons into a really big scene as you continue reading through Acts chapter 21. And you'll find that the Jews, they get the city of Jerusalem in all kinds of a big uproar. And they create this big mob scene. And the Romans are finally going to have to come upon this scene and yank Paul because the Jews are ready to kill him. And so the Romans have to come and they yank Paul out of this scene. And they save his life in so doing. And then the Romans are like, "Paul, what in the world have you done? Who are you? And why are all these people so upset at you?" Well, our study over the last few Sunday evenings and now an afternoon has been about centurions. And you remember, we looked at a centurion in Luke chapter 7, a centurion that caused Jesus to marvel because of his great faith. Right? Jesus said, "I've not found so great faith even in Israel as he did in that centurion, a Roman soldier in charge of 100 Roman soldiers." So we looked at that centurion in Luke chapter 7. And then we fast forwarded to the centurion at the base of the cross, remember? And we looked at that centurion who was able to witness and take into account and look at all of the evidence, and he had to reach one conclusion. Surely this man was the Son of God. A Roman centurion reached that conclusion concerning Jesus when he saw all the evidence around the cross. And then last time we looked at Cornelius in Acts chapters 10 and 11, remember? And it is Peter that is sent to Cornelius, and it is Peter that presents Christ to Cornelius and to his family, and they end up obeying the gospel. And the first Gentile converts to the church are discovered there in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius lived in the town of Caesarea. And it is to Caesarea that Paul will be taken. Centurions will guard him, and they will keep him safe. I have a lot more to say about that. I'm going to skip over. But if you read through the latter part of the book of Acts, you'll see these centurions continue to pop up in the life of the Apostle Paul. And centurions are guarding him, and centurions are with him, and they're also watching all that's going on around the life of Paul. But if I were to ask you, is Cornelius the only Roman centurion that we know by name in the book of Acts? What would you say? And I'll tell you the answer is no. There's another Roman centurion, we are told his name. And he is one that's going to guard Paul. Now, Paul is going to undergo, through the rest of the book of Acts, one trial after another. He's going to be carried from Jerusalem by centurions to Caesarea on the Mediterranean Sea. He is going to be imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years. He is going to go before Felix, and he's going to go before Festus, and then he's ultimately going to be taken before King Agrippa. I take you now to Acts chapter 26. And before King Agrippa, these are the words of Paul. And I want to just draw your attention here, and I'll try not to belabor this. But this is great stuff. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is recalling his conversion to Christ. And again, you're probably familiar with a lot of this, but I want you to see it. Verse number 15 of Acts chapter 26. We pick up kind of mid-sentence, but in verse number 15, Paul says, "I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, and for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a servant and a witness not only to the things which you've seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.'" Paul says, "So King Agrippa, I didn't prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those in Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, practicing deeds appropriate to repentance. Now, for this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple, and they were trying to put me to death. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day," it's now 2 years later, "having obtained help from God to this day, I stand here bearing witness both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that as first of the resurrection from the dead, he was going to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Now, I want you to circle in your mind, and this is what I've really come to emphasize this afternoon. Verse number 27. "I have obtained help from God." If you haven't stopped lately to look in the rearview mirror of your life and to ask, "How did I get here?" you should do that. And you see what God has done for you in your life. Paul has been through an ordeal that you and I will never probably know. But he trusted God. He said, "Jesus told me that this all was going to take place. It's happened just as the Lord told me that it would. And I have obtained help from God to this day." He was looking over the course of his life at all that God had done for him. Now, in chapter 27, at the last verse of chapter 26, Agrippa says to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he'd not appealed to Caesar." But the Lord had in mind that Paul was going to go to Caesar. And Paul was going to go to Caesar. And the Lord was going to make sure that he got there and that he was going to get there safely. And so in chapter 27, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. You see that? So you've got a centurion named Julius. And verse number 2, getting aboard an Andromedan ship, which was about to sail to the regions along the coast of Asia, we set sail accompanied by the regions along the coast of Asia, we set sail accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. And then they're going to continue to sail on and on and on, and they're going to suffer shipwreck. And you can read and you can understand the rest of the story. It's a centurion named Julius that's going to accompany Paul from this point forward. And Paul is going to tell Julius along the way. I mean, they get in the middle of this storm in the rest of 27, right? And for 14 days, the Bible tells us that they didn't eat and they didn't drink and they feared for their lives. And these are sailors. These are men who sail. These are men who know the Mediterranean Sea. And they were fearful of their lives. And in chapter 27, Paul comes to Julius. He comes to the centurion and he says, listen, we're all going to make it. An angel of God stood by and told me that we're all going to make it. And so as Jeff read for us a moment ago, they were ready to bail the ship. But God had told Paul, listen, if anybody bails, I'm not going to save them. I'm going to save those who stay with the ship. So that's verse number 31. He says to Julius, he says to the centurion, unless these men remain in the ship, you can't be saved. And the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and they let it fall away. And in chapter 28, they came safely to Rome. They were fearful. They thought for a minute they may not happen. But you see the faith of Paul and the trust that he had in the Lord. And the Lord didn't let him down. I'm going to let you read and study some of that for yourself, and I hope you will. But what I want you to understand this afternoon, when we get to heaven, I like to think that the centurion in Luke chapter 7 will be there, don't you? A faith that Jesus marveled. I like to think that when we get to heaven, we'll meet the centurion who was at the foot of the cross, who looked at the evidence and declared, truly, this man was the Son of God. I can't say it with confidence. I'm not saying that I know they're going to be there, but I like to think that they will be. I like to think that when we get to heaven, we'll meet Cornelius and we'll meet his family. And when we get to heaven, I like to think we'll meet Julius too, who witnessed the events in this portion of Paul's life. And he saw a faith in the Apostle Paul, even in the greatest storm, never waver. He never wavered. He never doubted. He trusted that the Lord would keep his promise, that the Lord would see him through. And it doesn't hurt that when they got to the island of Malta in chapter 28, that he witnessed the Apostle Paul get bit by a venomous snake and live. Julius was there. Julius saw all of that. And he witnessed the church. He saw Paul and the people of God rally around each other. Julius would have been there, and he would have seen all of that. And this afternoon, I just want to remind us that the storms of our life, people are watching us too. They're watching us, and they're looking at our faith, and they're asking if we doubt. And I've come to remind you that the same God that told Paul, I'll see you through, the same God that Paul was able to say, he has helped me to this day, is the same God that continues to help us all our days too. I don't want to waver. I want to stand with him. For all that Jesus has done for us, why would we walk away from him? This afternoon, where do you find yourself with the Lord? He is with you. He wants nothing more than for you to go to heaven and to be with him. I don't know if we'll see Julius. I don't know if we'll see these centurions. But I am just fascinated by the fact that some of the greatest faith in the book of Acts and through the Gospels is found in these Roman soldiers. Of all people, these Roman soldiers, these hardened military men, these men that most likely would have at one time given themselves into idolatry, into Caesar worship, these are the ones that the Holy Spirit says, I want you to know these men. And the same God that was with them and the same God that showed them the things that they saw is the same God who continues to be with us today. This afternoon, if you're a Christian and you've wandered away, maybe you're going through a storm and we can help you through it. If we can pray for you, if we can do anything to help you in any way,